Greetings, greetings, beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. It's okay to be a slug for a little while. All right. Now, without further ado, I'd like to bring my special, amazing guest, as you all will see, to the stage. Dr. Madeline Lewis.
Hello, 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 hello.
Thank you so much for joining Snails and No Shells. We appreciate you.
Wow, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, me too, me too. All right, let's get into it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dr. Madeline Ann Lewis is President, CEO of the Executive Women's Success Institute and creator of the online course, Crack the Career Code. Unlock the amazing power within to lead with confidence. Ooh, I love it. No, wait a minute. She's not even finished. Lead with confidence, charisma, and credibility. Yes, she's the host of the Success for Women radio TV show, career strategist, international TEDx speaker, Yes, we're going to get into that a little later. Trainer, author, and business consultant. Yes, I need a hand clap machine.
Where's my little clapper? Where's my clapper? Yes.
That is amazing. Wow. All right.
Thank you for the intro.
Yes. All right. So, Dr. Madeline, where were you born and raised?
Well, I am actually from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Currently living 1,100 or so miles away in Maryland, but that is where I hail from, New Orleans, Louisiana.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard it live and direct.
Yeah.
And how was it growing up in Louisiana?
Well, you know what? Down south, it was the South. So as a child, my mother and our family, they were very protective of us. But, you know, it was great. I mean, I was in my own little world. I had fun. You know, I was a happy child. I was into everything. You know, I love, I was into swimming and bowling. I mean, I did Taekwondo. I was into a lot of different things because my mother always encouraged me to, you know, just to do things, to be out there and just to get involved. And so I did. So for me, it was great. Growing up in Louisiana, it really was. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. And so, when did you wind up moving to Maryland?
I came to Maryland in 1989, because of a job transfer. And so, yes, I decided that I wanted to throw my hat in the ring for a supervisory position, and the position took me out of New Orleans. And I tell you what, it was during at a time actually when New Orleans was going through economic problems. You know, it was the economy wasn't that good. So, and I moved up to Washington, D.C. and I've been here ever since. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Ooh, the weather. It get cold up there.
That is the thing. Ooh, that was a culture shock for me. Yes. Coming from the South where it was hot and humid to up here where we had snow. I was like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to do this? But, you know, you get used to it. You definitely get used to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I'm in Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I remember all that snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't miss that. Only thing I miss is like, you know, winter time around Christmas, you know, playing. Yeah. No, that's about it.
And that's what, you know, up here, people always say when it, around Christmas time, oh, I hope it snow. I want a white Christmas. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I don't hope it snow. You know, I don't want a white Christmas, okay?
Oh, wow, yes. Yeah. Okay, so Dr. Marilyn, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, you know what? It's funny because I always wanted to work in an office. And my mother used to tell me, you know, one of the things she used to say to me, I want you to work in an air-conditioned office. You know, she said, because I guess because it was always so hot in Louisiana and New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And she always said, y'all, I want you to work in an air-conditioned office. So I guess I took that literally, thinking, you know, I want to be a secretary. I want to make sure that I'm in a nice air conditioned office and everything. But I tell you what, once I got into that, you know, being a secretary, my first job, kind of good job, I guess, out of school, I was a clerk typist. And then I got promoted into the steno pool at where I was. And when I looked around and I saw all those ladies sitting there, and they have been there for like 15 years doing the same thing, I thought, oh no, this is not for me. Nothing against it. Okay. If they happy with it, that's fine. But it was not for me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started looking and kind of venturing out and wanting to do other things. Of course, still, you know, being where I could be in that air conditioned office. I wound up, I went into the military for a little bit, and I also did other things, but I even did, believe it or not, I even did surveillance. I worked as, you know, doing surveillance. I used to tell people I got paid to mind other people's business. I would be following people around, you know. But it was, I guess, what I wanted to be, what I thought about being when I grew up, was to be a secretary, working in the office, you know, and just doing that. I used to, even as when I was younger, growing up, I used to collect papers and just pretend that I was working in the office and I was doing all this high powered paper stuff, pushing, moving papers, you know, and that was actually what I had dreamed of being when I grew up. Things turn out different though. Life changes.
And then nothing you could do about it but go with it. Really,
life changes.
So let's talk about this for a couple of minutes. You, the military, which branch
were you? I was in the Army for 22 years. And for 22 years, I was in the Army and I reached the rank of Sergeant Major. And I retired right after because my mom had, you know, she took sick and I was kind of back and forth between the military and going home. And so it got to the point, because I was the commandant of a unit, I couldn't keep, you know, I just wasn't giving the Army my best at that point. And so I decided to put in my retirement paperwork. And, you know, it was funny because when I put the paperwork in to retire, and I kept waiting and waiting for my paperwork to go through and, you know, so I could sign off on it. And it took a minute. And so finally I went to the colonel and said, sir, you know, I put in my paperwork and I haven't seen anything. And he looked at me, he said, oh, I just thought you wanted to take a little time off and then you would come back. I said, no, I said, I really need to, you know, I had to focus on my mom at that time. And I told him, I said, you know, I can't be a sergeant major and be in a unit. And you, when, you know, at that rank, you have soldiers following you and I'm not there. So I just didn't feel like I needed to continue on in that, you know, in that position. I needed to retire at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Wow. See, that's amazing. I didn't know that. Wow. All right. So let's get into your authorship. Let's talk about more about your book.
I have actually, I did two books. The first book that I did was called Playing from the Blue Tee, Women in the Federal Government. And with that book, I did research. I interviewed 20 women in and around the Washington, D.C. area that were in executive level positions, because I wanted to find out how they got there, how they stayed there, the obstacles they faced while in those positions. And from doing that research and talking to these women, it was phenomenal. And I was able to write that book from that. And then my next book actually was Finding Your Best Inside, How to Persevere and Become the Person You're Meant to Be. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote this book. It was more for me after my mom passed, because I just needed something. You know how sometimes you just have so much inside of you and you have to release it some type of way. And so this book was written after she retired, and it was also dedicated to her, to my mom. So that's why I wrote that book.
Oh, beautiful. Do you mind reading just a small piece, a little snippet or?
One of the things I wrote, and this is something that she used to tell my sister and I all the time, that anything is possible. And so that's one of the chapters in the book, Anything is Possible. And I started off by saying perseverance, determination, and belief in yourself. And I said, in making your plans, make them big. One of the biggest obstacles to success is underestimating our own ability. We dream of a goal, we wish for something, but many of us do one of two things. We believe the goal or destination is unattainable, and so never make any preparation in the first place, or we make the preparation and start on the journey towards our destination, but drop out mid-journey. We give up. And I that was because, she was always encouraging and pushing. You can do anything that you set out to do. Mm-hmm. You know, even though she said, I want you to work in an air conditioned office, to her, that at that time when I was growing up, that would be a big accomplishment for a little Black girl to be working in a nice air conditioned office, you know. Yes. And so. Yeah. She always motivated. She always encouraged. She always pushed me. You know, like I said, I did a lot of things growing up. The swimming, I was on a swim team. You know, I bowled. I did Taekwondo. And these were things because she never limited me and said to me, no, you can't do this or you can't do it. It was always, yes, you can do it. The only way you can't do it is if you tell yourself that you can't. And then you've already put yourself out of the game. So, but that's a part of this book, just because of some of the things that she taught me and some of the things that I learned from her.
That's beautiful. Hold it up again so they can see what the book looks like.
Finding Your Best Inside, How to Persevere and Become the Person You're Meant to Be.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so where are we going next? We're going to the coaching, or are we going into TED Talk? Like, we're probably going.
Hey, it's up to you. Whichever way you want to go with.
I want to say the TED Talk for last. So let's go to the so your coaching.
Okay.
No, wait a minute. Then you have your radio TV show. That's Madeline. Wait a minute. Okay, let's go with the coaching.
Okay.
The coaching
actually started because because I had, as I was in the military, and then when I came out and I was in corporate America, I was in the federal government, I worked for civilian federal government and all in these positions, I was always one of these people that, you know, I always saw more. You know, when I get in one at one level, I always wanted to go to that next level. And so I was always, you know, rising or in my career. And in the military, I had women coming to me wanting to know, how did you get promoted to that level? You know, how do you keep getting promoted? Because I was in a lot of units that were male dominated, you know, for a female to get to the rank of sergeant major as I did, and I was in like civil affairs unit. You know, civil affairs is mostly men. I was in a transportation unit, mostly men, and so, but I always made sure to get the knowledge, to get do the requirements, the things that I needed to do to ensure that whenever they looked at my promotion packet, they saw something different. There was something extra in there. And I always did that throughout my career. And so women came to me and they wanted me to help them to look at their promotion packet. And even when I was working in the civilian federal government and in corporate America, same thing. They wanted me to look at their promotional packets or do mock interviews with them. And because of that, that is why I created my organization, so that I could help more women on a larger scale. And so that's how I created one of my coaching programs was created because of the research that I did from the book where I interviewed the 20 women. That's the eight, and I call it the 8 Habits of Highly Successful Women. And that's a program that I put women through to show them just how they can pull out their own potential in themselves. You know, it's there. Stop limiting yourself. Stop holding yourself back. Stop shrinking back. Stop sitting at the back of the room. You know, when you go into that room, you sit at the table, sit at the front of the table, you know, and, you know, because your goal is to own that table and maybe one day own the building. Okay. Yes. And so that is what I want, you know, like to do in my coaching programs is definitely pulling out that potential, showing women their abilities, their skills, and letting them know, hey, don't let anyone tell you that you're not good enough, because you are, you know, and you know, with women, one of the things I've always noticed with women throughout my career, and it's also a study by the Harvard Business Review, is that it says, Harvard Business Review says that men will apply for a position if they meet only 60% of the requirements. Women, we will only apply for a position if we feel we meet 100% of the requirements. And that has got to stop, because the thing about it is, you look at that posting and you say, oh, okay, like the men look at it and they say, oh, I have this and this, but I don't have this, this, and this, but they still put their information in and apply. Women will look at it and say, oh, I have this and this and this and this, but I don't have these last two. And so then they think, well, I'm not qualified. Yes, you are qualified. I remember I had a person to tell me one time when I was putting in for a position, and I went to her and I was telling her I wanted to do this and I was asking for advice. And she told me, she said, when you apply for a position, you make it sound like you can walk on water. She said, and I'm not telling you to lie about anything. She said, but everything that you've done, you make sure that you put it in there, because your goal is to get into that interview and make sure that they notice you. And then she said, because once you get the position, you can learn the position, even if you don't know everything. Nobody will know everything about any position that they get. And you can learn. And what you don't know, then you bring people in that have that expertise that can do what you don't know. And she said, you should know a little bit about everything that goes on in your department, but you don't have to be an expert in everything, because that's what other people that have that expertise are for.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. You're going to get trained on the job training.
Exactly.
But I didn't know that. Those statistics, those numbers. Wow. That is so interesting.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Wow. That's why a lot of women, sometimes they say, oh, I can't apply for that because I'm not qualified. They look at, yes, you are qualified. If they have two or three things on there that's in your background, that's in your bio, that's in your resume, you are qualified. So throw your hat in the ring.
Yes. I love that. Oh, yes. Thank you for that. Boy, that's amazing. That is. Wow. Okay. So now let's get into your TV show.
Okay. The TV show is the Successful Women Radio and TV Show. And it is on the Women for Women Network and Talk 4 TV. And it airs every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the show, what I wanted to do was to create a show that for women, of course, that where they can see, I bring on guests that are doing different things, and I bring them on to talk, to share their story and to tell us how they did it again, how they got there, to show other women that there are women out there doing what you might want to do. So don't feel like you can't do it, because if they can do it, you can do it too. Don't limit yourself, you know? And so that's what the show is all about, to motivate, to encourage, and to also provide resources for women so that they can keep moving and not feel stuck, not feel frustrated, and not feel like they can't do something that they have a passion for or just have been wanting to do for years and just haven't done it because they don't feel like they're worthy or they're good enough or they might fail. And so what? But you'll never know if you don't try.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's nice. I was thinking that air conditioned office, honey, you were just too big for that office. Oh my gosh, you've done so much in your life. That little office was
gonna, because I was always a curious one. If I got in an organization, and this is one thing you need to know, is when you work somewhere, you need to know all about them. And that's what the website is for. Their website will tell you everything you need to know. I remember I worked at one time for an organization, and I got on their recruitment team. And people asked me, how did you get on their recruitment team? I didn't even know they had a recruitment team. I said, I don't know why you didn't know. It's on the website.
Right.
You know, right. But if you don't do your research, if you don't find out about that, if you're working for an organization, you need to know what they're all about and what they do, you know? And if, again, recruitment team, they didn't have a whole lot of people that looked like me going out on that recruitment team. And that's why I wanted to be on it. That is exactly why.
Mm-hmm. Yes, busting down doors, breaking barriers, and all that good stuff. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into the TED Talk. I love it. I've been waiting for this part.
Yes, I did a TEDx talk in December, on December 4th. And I went to Canada. I was invited. With the TEDx talks, you have to be invited or recommended to be on that platform. I mean, they're all over the place. They're all over the world. I mean, I just so happened, the lady that invited me was in Canada. And I was not going to say no, but I tell you what, it was interesting. It was a journey, and it was a learning lesson for me, because you don't just think you're going to write a speech and then just step on their stage. That's not the way they do it. They put you through training. They have a format, how they want the speech written, you know, how they want the opening, about how they want the middle, the closing, and all of that. You have to, of course, be in their theme. But if in your speech, even during the rehearsals, after you've done it and you've recorded it, your speech can still not be accepted through TED, because if TED is the actual overall, TEDx is under TED, and it's usually organized by different organizations or individuals who are licensed under TED to have TEDx talks. And so when you do a TEDx talk, like I did mine in Canada, it still has to be submitted to TED for them to approve it. And if they don't approve it, no one will ever see it. I know some friends of mine who did do a TEDx talk, and theirs was flagged and it was never approved. And the thing about it, if it's flagged, then they don't do the, can I appeal it or whatever. Right. If they flag it, it's for whatever reason they flag it. Maybe something you said in it, it may be something you said and you didn't fully explain it, so they don't want, because TEDx talks go out in the world. And that is what they want to do, is to get that message, you know, as far out into the world as they can. And so that's why they look at every video, every recording that's done. They look at it first before it's approved and before they upload it on their TED website. And so the fact that I was able to do this and have it approved, oh my goodness, it was just incredible for me. But it, like I said, the whole process that they put you through and everything, the journey, it was really a learning experience. It really taught me how to write a speech when I do, when I have to go and speak somewhere else. It makes me now think more about how I'm putting together a speech to go and do a speaking engagement. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm trying to get my video over that 10,000 plus mark. I'm actually last time I looked, I think I was at over 7,000. So yeah.
So you got to get it up there. So where can we find the video so we can get those views up?
Well, actually the video, as I said, it's on YouTube. And if you go to YouTube, put in TEDx talk dash and then put my name, Dr. Madeline Ann Lewis, then mine will come up. It'll be the first one up, you know, so that you won't have to scroll down and try to find it. You'll be able to find my talk. So make sure if you do go out there and look for it, view it to the end, then comment on it, like it, and share.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get these views up.
Yes.
Dr. Madeline, she's been out here. As you can see, she has been on a mission. She is changing lives. So we have to support that. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so amazing. I know you have about 3 more hours worth of things that we could talk about. that you have accomplished, but you know, I got to cut it down.
I understand. Yes. And I just appreciate you for having me. I really do.
Thank you for coming. So before we go, give us, you know, maybe a quote or a word, a piece of advice or something that you'd like to leave with the audience.
Well, I would say what my mother always told us is to make sure when you have a goal in mind, something that you really want to do, don't give up on it. Don't give up on your goals. Don't give up on your dreams. And also, as you're moving up, make sure to pull someone else up with you. Mm-hmm. Because women, that is the one thing we need to get better at, is supporting each other. And that's why I said we need to learn how to build these support networks. So make sure you support other women as you're moving up or as you're doing whatever, even in business, support them so that we can all just keep moving. Because, you know, as women, when we show up, we can rise up. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, everybody wins.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that was beautifully said. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you being
on Snails with No Shield. I really, really do.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And congratulations on your show. I wish you much, much, much success on it.
Thank you. I'm full of gratitude. Thank you.
Okay.
So before we go, I just want to say, everyone, please like, share, and subscribe.
Yes. And thank you
for watching this show. And remember, just like the sun, you are necessary.
Absolutely. I love you. Bye-bye.